Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. Great to have you in that listening audience. We come to you each and every Sunday at this time by the grace of God. We thank the Lord for 19 years now. We have been bringing these messages to you, and we pray that you've been blessed. We pray for this radio station, for all the prayers, the support, the provision, and most of all for you, the listener, that those of you who are tuned in today, you'll come back each and every Sunday, make this a regular stop on your Sunday worship schedule. And for those of you who've been regular listeners for many years, we thank the Lord for you, and we thank the Lord for this day. It's a day that He has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Today, we're going to be talking about prayer. We started this series of messages last Sunday, and we're going to continue today, prayer part two. We're going to take a look at the Lord's Prayer, also talk about the prayer of intercession, the prayer of confession. And prayer is a deep, deep subject, and it's all through the Bible. And so God wants you to have a prayer life. He wants you to have a relationship with Him, to talk to Him, and to go to Him in times of need, in times of praise. And all of this is encompassed in the subject of prayer. So turn in your Bible to Matthew chapter 6, and we're going to start in verse 7 here. Well, once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. As you heard me speak in the prayer, Kenya is going through a very difficult season. Right now, we have a new president. He is a Christian, an evangelical Christian at that, but he is having a difficult time. There's a lot of dissatisfaction in the country with his leadership. A lot of unrest, a lot of restlessness and turmoil. And so the people are back out in the streets in Nairobi and the major cities in Kenya. And so we ask you, Lord, to just give President Ruto wisdom, as this is a very difficult time. So as you think about Kenya, think about me in Kenya. Just lift up the country in your prayers in the next couple of weeks, because I believe that it's going to be a very difficult time. People are in the streets, and hooligans and thugs are starting to hijack the peaceful movement that was just a protest movement. Now the thugs are taking over, and they're destroying people's property and stealing and looting and burning. And so keep Kenya in your prayers. Well, today we're going to be talking about prayer. And again, this is a big, big subject. It's a big subject, and it's also a big aspect of every Christian's life, and even people who don't have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and don't have a relationship with God. People attempt to pray and do pray in times of desperation. And, you know, the old saying that there's no atheists in a foxhole, I don't know if that's 100% true. There may be some, but there's probably not too many. People feel like when things are going well, they don't need God. But in times of desperation, most people cry out to God. And so that is the purpose of prayer, that we can have a relationship with God. We can position ourselves before God and with God. We can position ourselves so that we can take our needs and our praises and our desperations to Him, and we can thank Him when things are going well. We can thank Him even when things are not going well. We can praise Him in the valley. We can praise Him on the top of the mountain. And so that is the purpose of prayer, is to establish our relationship and confirm our relationship with God. And so people might say, you probably heard it said, well, if God knows all of your thoughts and He knows all your needs and all of your desires, what's the point of prayer? Well, that's a good question. The point of prayer is to establish your relationship with God. Yes, God knows your needs even before you speak them. He knows what He has spoken over your life, what He wants for you, what He has called you to be. He knows the beginning from the end. He is the Alpha and the Omega, and so He knows all those things. But it is important for you to go to the Lord of prayer and to establish your relationship with Him, position yourself in front of Him, before Him, so that you can establish your relationship, confirm your relationship, grow more intimate with the Lord, and we can then move forward in our kingdom walk. And that's the whole purpose of prayer. You're not going to get everything you want, especially if you're praying outside the perfect will of God for your life. If you're just praying for things that in your selfish desire you want for your life, it's probably not going to be given to you. But if you're praying for things that are in the will of God, that's why I pray for the children's school. That's why I pray for the children's home and the pastor in the church. That's why I pray for crusades. Those are in the will of God. And when God has a vision for you, when he gives you a vision, he will give you provision. If you're thinking about ministry, if you're thinking about projects for the kingdom, God is 100% behind those. And that is where faith comes in. You add your faith and his faith to the projects, to the vision that he has given you. And then that faith bears fruit and you will see it come to pass. 1 Thessalonians 5:24, faithful is he who calls you, and he will see it come to pass. So when you're praying for those things that are in the will of God, be certain that they will come to pass. It may take some time. You don't know how long it's going to take. That's what makes it interesting. That's what makes life fun. But when you pray for the things that are in the will of God, be assured that you will receive them. Well, in Matthew chapter 6, we looked at the first part of this chapter last week, and we're going to look at verse 7 today, starting verse 7. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. And do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask them. And so there's a couple of things there that we can learn about prayer. Number one, let your prayer be heartfelt. Let it be heartfelt. Don't just give up to the Lord rote prayers or memorized prayers or prayers that your mother or your father said, or now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. That's all right. But if it's just something you're memorized and something you're just putting out there as a rote memory, don't do that. Put some heartfelt words into your prayer. Put some heartfelt passion into your prayer. And don't just multiply words so that you can fill up the airspace with your words. Some of the words that you speak, you've spoken them 1,000 times, and God's not short on hearing. He's not up there and in a place where he can't hear. He knows what you spoke the first time. Start thanking the Lord. If you haven't seen the answer to that prayer, start thanking him for the answer. You don't have to keep repeating over and over and over. There's a time even when God may say, you can quit praying for that situation. You can quit praying. Other times he'll say, stay persistent, keep knocking. But there are times when he says, you've prayed enough, I've heard your prayer, and now you're going to see the answer to you. So all of that comes through the instruction from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will guide you and direct you. He will speak to you what the Lord is speaking to the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit knows the mind of God. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God. And so the Holy Spirit knows God in a way that you don't. And so when you learn to listen to the Holy Spirit, he doesn't always speak to you right after you finish praying or during the prayer. Sometime it may be the next day when you're at your job, or the next day when you're going down the road, the Holy Spirit may speak to you, and it just something comes welling up out of your inner being, and it speaks to you in a very definitive way. And so Jesus said, don't be like the Gentiles, for their Father knows what you need before you ask them. And so why did he bring up the Gentiles? Because the Gentiles at that time had no relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, we know now, Gentiles, we have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, but there are still Gentiles. That is, those outside the faith, those that are unsaved, they're still Gentiles who don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, and they don't know how to pray. So the Lord was saying at that time, don't pray like the Gentiles who have no relationship with God or no relationship with me. And the same is true today. If you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you need to get one. You can do it today. If you don't know for sure if God loves you, if he cares about you, if he answers his prayers for you, you can know for certain today that God sent his son Jesus Christ to die on the cross for you, that he shed his perfect precious blood for you, that your sins are forgiven. If you repent of your sins, ask the Lord to forgive you. And so you can have that relationship with God that you may not be sure of. When you pray, then you will know that God hears your prayers. Then you will know that you're saved. You don't have to fear death. You don't have to fear what's going to happen with you tomorrow. You can start to replace all that fear in your life with faith. And so you don't need to be in the category of the Gentiles. You can have your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and you can move forward in faith. You'll know that your prayers are being answered, and even greater than that, you'll know what to pray. You'll be more certain and more accurate, I guess you would say, in your prayers, because you know your prayers are hitting the mark for what God has for you in your life. Well, let's start to look at the Lord's Prayer. This is the prayer given to us as an example by Jesus Christ. And I think it's okay to pray the Lord's Prayer, but don't let it become just a rote prayer again, where you're just reciting words that maybe you don't have any heartfelt passion for. Don't let it become a rote thing. And so he's given us an example. Jesus has given us an example of how we can pray, how we can come to him in prayer, and the points in the prayer that need to be covered. And so he says here in verse 9, pray then like this: Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Well, it's obvious that God's name is hallowed. And if you don't understand that, the God is the creator of the universe. If you don't understand that, you need to understand that you exist because of him. Everything you have is because of him. Everything that you will be is because of him. And so we honor him through the prayer, and you come to him to position yourself as God, the creator of the universe. You position yourself before him in a humble way. Humble yourself before the Lord, and he will exalt you. Well, Deuteronomy 6:4 says, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God, Deuteronomy 6:5. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. And so the Lord God is one. There is only one creator God, Jehovah God, and he has a son. His son's name is Jesus Christ, the Messiah. And so there is only one way to God. Jesus himself said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through me. And so you have to know Jesus Christ. When you come to know Jesus Christ, you're then baptized with the Holy Spirit. You're given the Holy Spirit, which is the Spirit of the living God, the Paraclete, the Helper, the Advocate, the Counselor. And so that's what the Lord said. The Lord our God is one. He was talking about God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, the Blessed Trinity, the Holy Trinity, the Divine Trinity. No other religion on earth can compare. No other religion has the true living God like the Christian faith. And so when you come to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, God will start to reveal himself to you. He'll start to speak to you through the Holy Spirit. All these things then will come into your life because the Lord is one. He created you. You were created in his image. Genesis 1:26 says that we are created in his image. And so God has a perfect plan for you. As you start to get more intimate with him in prayer, you'll start to realize that plan is the perfect plan for you. It will give you fulfillment. It will fulfill your destiny. It will fulfill your calling. It will give you joy and peace, all these things that are attributes of God. will be yours to have. And then in verse 10, the Lord's Prayer, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Well, what does that mean? God has a kingdom in heaven right now. Everything that you see here on this earth, it's God's desire that the earth replicate or mimic what is already in heaven. That is God's plan. Psalm 119, verse 85, forever, O Lord, your word is settled or fixed in heaven. And so God's word is settled in heaven. It is spoken in heaven. The angels in heaven are around the throne. They're worshiping God. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. People have been given visions. People have been given a glimpse of that heavenly picture. Moses himself was given a glimpse of the heavenly picture, and that is the reason that he built the tabernacle according to the directions that God gave him in that heavenly glimpse. Other people are given a glimpse of heaven through near-death or full-death experiences. Then God puts their spirit back in their body, lets them live some more. And so God is in heaven, and it is God's will that this earth be transformed into a picture or a replica of what is in heaven. And so that's why we strive as Christians to bring peace. That's why we strive as Christians to help people who don't have food, who don't have shelter, who don't have medical things to take care of them. They don't have medicines to take care of them. They don't have healing. All these things are a part of the kingdom of God. And I can tell you, after being in Africa for many years, all the clinics, all the schools, all the hospitals, all the churches, all these things, children's homes that have been built by Christians in that land, helping to bring up those people, helping to raise up those people in the name of Jesus, to give them better things, all those things in their life that have been given to them through Christian ministries, missionaries, churches. It is a blessing for those people. It is a sample of the kingdom of God here on this earth as it is in heaven. And so that's God's plan. And as we try to build schools over there, as we try to help people that are in desperate ways, have no food, no clothing, no shelter, no schooling, all these things that we help people do, it's in the name of Jesus, so these people can see us acting out our Christian faith and what we believe this earth should look like as it is the image of heaven here on this earth. So that's why in the Lord's Prayer it says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Then in verse 11, give us this day our daily bread. Well, in John chapter 6, verse 35, Jesus said to them, the Pharisees and the people standing around, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. And so natural bread represents provision. Provision in Philippians 4, verse 19, and my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. God will supply your needs if you're working hard and trying to do the best that you can. Prosperity starts with hard work, and so I pray that if you don't have a job, you get out and find a job. If you don't like to work, change your mindset, start to enjoy work, because it is a blessing from God. Work is a blessing from God. That's where prosperity starts. God isn't going to bless you to sit around and try to sponge off of other people, just live off of other people's sweat and hard work. And so God will provide the provision. He will give you your daily bread. He will supply for you your daily needs. And so when you're being diligent about your life, asking the Lord for daily bread is okay. If you need money to pay your rent, if you need money to send your children to school or put gas in your car, it's okay to ask God for daily bread. And that is God's will, that you look to him in every situation, and your God shall supply all of your needs, not necessarily all of your wants, but he shall supply all of your needs according to his riches in glory and Christ Jesus. And God's not running out of money. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He owns the cattle on 1,000,000 hills. All the gold and all the silver belongs to him. And so you need to get busy and find out what God wants for you. And you can then realize the needs in your life. You can have the needs of your life taken care of because God cares for you and there is plenty to go around and you can have your share. Then in verse 12, he says, and forgive us of our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And so you need to forgive the people who have debts against you or who have borrowed against you or who have offended you in any way. Forgive us of our debts. We all have offended people. We all have some at some point stiffed people or stood people up on debts that we owed them or something, or we've offended people and not apologized to them. Forgiveness is a very big, important subject in the Bible. In Mark chapter 11, verse 25, Jesus said, whenever you stand praying, forgive if you have anything against anyone, so that your Father also who is in heaven may forgive you your trespass. And so when you're praying, you think about people who have offended you, people who maybe never apologized, maybe they don't even know that they did offend you. You forgive those people. Maybe they owe you money. Forgive them of that. I'm not saying that you shouldn't try to collect bills that you have against people. Yes, you should. But at some point, you're not going to collect them all. You have to just forgive and go on and forget about it. And your Father in heaven, who is in heaven, he may forgive you your trespass. And you have to understand that your Father and Jesus Christ has forgiven you of all your sins. And so it behooves us to forgive other people when they sin against us. It behooves us to forgive and forget and even bless people who have offended us. So if you're holding on to grudges, you're holding on to bitterness against people because you think that you're somehow punishing them or you're somehow extracting vengeance against them, just let go of that. Let go and forgive. Let the Lord take care of them, the righteous judge. He sees every detail in every situation. Let him take care of it, and you forgive them and go on, and then God can right the situation in his own mind. But you have released that bitterness off of you. You're not carrying that yoke of anger and bitterness and that yoke of vengeance anymore. Give it over to Jesus, and you walk in freedom. You walk with your head up. And sometimes you know, even when you loan people money, even before you loan it, that you're never going to get the money back. Just bless them and thank the Lord that you had it to give. That's our situation in Africa. Many times people always say, oh, I'll pay you back, I'll pay you back, I'll pay you back. But it rarely ever happens because another crisis comes up in people's lives 2 weeks after you loan them the money and they just don't have it to repay. Well, verse 13, then Jesus said, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Well, God doesn't tempt us. James 1, chapter 1, verse 13, let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. And then that desire, when it conceives, it is then led to sin. And so God doesn't tempt us. We're tempted by our own desires. We're tempted by the evil one, the devil. He can always put thoughts in your mind, and he is always around to harass you and torment you. Don't give in to temptation. Cry out to the Lord if you're being tempted, and then remove yourself from that situation. Remove yourself from that place, whether it's looking at a computer, the the pornography or adultery or fornication or whatever the situation is, just remove yourself from it, get out of there, and have the Lord then deliver you from evil. It is not God's will that you succumb to temptation. It's not God's will that you succumb to evil. He wants to bless you. He wants to raise you up. But you sometimes just have to get your feet moving and get out of that situation that you're in. Maybe cut off a relationship that is very tempting to you. Maybe causing harm to your marriage. Maybe causing harm to your business. Something in your life that you know isn't right. Just cut it off. Get out of there. Get your feet moving and move in the direction of God. And so we ask the Lord then to protect us. Go to the gospel armor in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. Pray for that gospel armor on you every day for the protection of God. And then you will not succumb to the temptation and the wiles of the evil one. Well, this is a big, big subject. Again, we didn't get near as far today as I wanted to. Next week, we'll take up a prayer of intercession and prayer of confession. And so we'll look forward to that in the coming week. Thank you for listening. Gather the Outcast is a listener-supported radio ministry. We thank the Lord for that. We praise the Lord for all these many years. We'd love to hear from you to support us. Keep these good messages coming. And if you feel called to do that, sit down today, write us out a check, include a note that you are listening and you want prayers spoken for you. If you have prayer requests, include those in that note and the contact information where you can send that support is coming up at the end of this broadcast. Thank you again for listening. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.